Studies on Belief by Michael Olson. Foundations. We live by the word. Salvation. Life is to be abundant. John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. We can do all things. Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Nothing is impossible. Matthew 17:19-20. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and asked him, "Why could we not expel the demon?" He said to them, "Because of the littleness of your faith, that is your lack of firmly relying trust. For truly I say to you, if you have faith, that is living, like a grain of mustard seed, you can say to this mountain, 'Move from here to yonder place,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible to you." Path to Success. Matthew 4:4. But he answered, "It is written, 'Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God.'" Joshua 1:8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate in it day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." Psalms 119:105, 130, and 160. "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet, and a light unto my path." 130. "The entrance of thy words giveth light. It giveth understanding unto the simple." 160. "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy righteous judgments endureth forever." Promise of salvation. God's word is of utmost value. The words of our Bibles are held in such high regard, they are considered as coming from the very mouth of God. 2 Peter 1:21. "For no prophecy ever originated because some man willed it to do so. It never came by human impulse. But men spoke from God who were born along, moved and impelled by the Holy Spirit." God's word is so powerful, so effectual, the word can literally deliver one from captive bondage and despair unto an unending, abundant life. This change is so substantial, it's called salvation. The word is so effective, so definite in its ability to cause change, it is called a promise of salvation. Promises in the word are God's promises. The promise of salvation is so life-changing, of such extreme contrast to our wretched lives before salvation's eternal life. The transition is called divine and miraculous. The abundant life of God's promise is of such overwhelming contrast with the lives we lived before. The change is considered a new life, with a new birth, the recipient born again, a new creation, a new creature, more than a conqueror, a brand new man. 2 Corinthians 5:17. "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." "Therefore, if any person is engrafted in Christ, the Messiah, he is a new creation, a new creature altogether. The old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. Behold, the fresh and new has come." Romans 8:37. "Yet amid all these, we are more than conquerors and gain a surpassing victory through him who loved us." Romans 8:37-39, NASB. "But in all these things we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor principalities, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor any other created thing will be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our cost, the price we must pay, the requirement we must fulfill to receive this salvation, is of such disproportion to what is promised, the salvation we receive is so unequal to what we must do to receive it, the cause we must invoke to effect the promise fulfilled toward us, it can only be considered a gift of His love and kindness. Titus 3:4-7. But when the kindness of our God, our Savior, and His love for mankind appeared, He saved us, not on the basis of deeds which we have done in righteousness, but according to His mercy, by the washing of regeneration and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom He poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that being justified by His grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Salvation is so unbalanced compared with our merit for obtaining it. Salvation is a gift. It is freely given. The Lord's salvation is a gift of God's grace, unmerited favor. Romans 3:24. All are justified and made upright, and in right standing with God, freely and gratuitously, by His grace, His unmerited favor and mercy, through the redemption which is provided in Christ Jesus. Romans 5:1-2. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through Him we have also obtained access by faith into His grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in hope of the glory of God. The price of such favor is our faithfulness to believe, to rely upon, and to keep His word, revering His person, Jesus, as God's Son, Lord, and Savior, standing in faith that what He promises is true and that He will be faithful to fulfill every word. Romans 4:16. Therefore, inheriting the promise is the outcome of faith and depends entirely on faith in order that it might be given as an act of grace, unmerited favor, to make it stable and valid and guaranteed to all His descendants, not only to the devotees and adherents of the law, but also to those who share the faith of Abraham, who is thus the father of us all. Ephesians 2:8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourself, it is a gift of God. Romans 3:21-25. The law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction, justified by His grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by His blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in His divine forbearance He had passed over former sins. No other words have greater value for affecting the quality of one's life by faith. Romans 10:17. So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Romans 1:16-17. For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith for faith, as it is written, the righteous shall live by faith. Romans 10:11. The scripture says, No man who believes in him, who adheres to, relies on, and trusts in him, will ever be put to shame or be disappointed. 2 Corinthians 1:24. Not that we have dominion over you and lord it over your faith, but rather that we work with you as fellow laborers to promote your joy. For in your faith, in your strong and welcome conviction or belief that Jesus is the Messiah, through whom we obtain eternal salvation in the kingdom of God, you stand firm. Our salvation begins with our confession. We accept him as Lord and rely upon his word as Lord, in which we will live our new life in him, in Christ, through his word abiding within us. Romans 10:10-13. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the Scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Romans 10:13, Amplified. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, invoking him as Lord, will be saved. Are we saved? Are you and I saved? Have you been saved? Most that read the above will probably say, yes, I am saved. Many recall the day when they made their first confession of faith. I believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, my Savior. Today, I will trust in and rely upon him to fulfill his word and make him Lord over my life. Some build upon this good confession, reminding themselves of their first confession every time they meet with other believers. Like the Apostles' Creed, they hold up their Bibles and profess, "This is my Bible. I am who it says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do." Are you a new creation? A new man? Many will answer yes to this question too. 1 John 5:1 ESV. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God, and everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Victory in Christ. Are you victorious in life? 1 John 5:4-5 ESV. For everyone who has been born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world except the one who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If not victorious and a conqueror in life, can we still believe we are living an abundant life? John 10:10. I came that they may have life and have it abundantly. If the reality you believe in has led you to believe sickness, failing eyesight, failing ability to walk, are a part of the Christian life, do you believe the same would be true of a victorious, conquering, abundant life? The victory that overcomes the world, our faith. We need to understand what Jesus meant by an abundant life and how it is that he brought it to us. Surely we do not doubt he was victorious in his role. He says he came that we may have life and have it abundantly. If he came that we may have it and yet we do not, it is not his failure if we have not received it. It is in his salvation that we find the abundant life he came that we might receive. It is in our faith that we find our victory in receiving his salvation. We live by faith. God's words must be believed and relied upon. The word has incredible power for effecting change in one's life, but only when relied upon to address life's challenges when encountered. Consider the following example. We may have lived riotously in our youth, By accident, we damage the very valuable treasure of another. When taken to court, we were judged owing and created a debt so large we would have to work the rest of our lives to only pay the interest. A wealthy brother may have died and left us $100 million in a bank. If we hear of the inheritance, but don't believe it is true so that we rely upon it by writing checks on the account, all that it may have provided towards living an abundant life are for nothing. Only in faith that what is conveyed by his gracious gift, and relying upon it to receive what is promised, affects enjoying the promised effects. Without faith, your brother's gracious gesture is of no effect. If a banker comes and preaches to us the good news of our inheritance, we hear it and decide to believe it, then when we rely upon that belief to initiate spending what was promised, not only are we able to pay the debt we could not pay, but we begin to live the good life our brother intended by his gift. When believing, writing the check initiates causing the bank to affect the effects of abundance we need. Writing the check is an act of faith required to appropriate the promise. If we don't believe in our inheritance, but believe we can work every day using all that we are naturally capable to live on what we earn, we may get by until we are no longer able to work. If we work, relying upon our belief that we can work to get by, we are exercising faith. We are exercising faith in our own abilities, but we are not exercising faith in our brother's provision. The exercise of our faith in what can naturally be done will lead us to a lifetime of struggling to get by. If we are like most, the working of our natural abilities will consume most of our time and most of our lives. How much better could our lives have been? How many valuable life aspects could have been produced had we just believed in our brother's gift? Cause and effect promises. God's promises, as with all promises, state cause and effect principles that, when true, one can count on them to affect, cause, or produce a promised effect. If one affects cause described in the promised effect will follow. When it comes to promises, one must affect the cause or one cannot expect the effect. God's faith-based promises must be believed in order to affect our lives. His faith-based promises do nothing by just having been heard or by just being aware they exist. It might also surprise. God's faith-based promises are of no effect, even if we believe that they are true, if we never rely upon them in pursuit of what the Word promises. When God's Word is not relied upon to effect a challenge that the faith-based promise specifically applies to, the effect is the same as if there were no applicable promise. If the identified cause of the effect is not affected, no promised effect is produced. This is true even if there is a specific promise that would have provided a needed effect had we relied upon the promise in faith. This is true even if the specific promise is believed, but the promise is not relied upon so as to affect the cause of the effect. Examples. I've never owned a car, but a loving benefactor gives me a wonderful car that stops working. I have the word promised by the expert manufacturer. When the gauge says empty, adding gasoline, cause, will affect the car so it continues running, desired effect, as before. But if in having that knowledge, even believing it is true, if I do not take notice of the gauge and pour gasoline into the tank, I have no promise. The car will not continue as before, even though I received the saving word and believed it. If I believe but fail to rely upon the promise of the manufacturing experts, and instead listen to the mass media news touting the wonders of mass transit authority, I may walk the mile to wait at the MTA stop every time I need to travel somewhere. With MTA, I notice that the bus only comes 50% of the time. But I say, that's life, and just accept what I get. Life goes on, but I've missed what my benefactor intended me to enjoy all the days of my life. My body becomes sick. My eyesight fails. My hips are hurting such that I cannot easily walk. I have the promise of my Savior benefactor revealed in James 5:14 through 15. Is any one among you sick? Let him call for the elders of the church and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up.
If I am unable to believe this word because I am told by a credible religious authority that the Lord sometimes does not fulfill that word on healing, in doubt of the Lord's word, I will search about to find a credible medical expert, one that claims to have a lot of experience with my kind of sickness. If I can find one, I may employ the doctor to help me. But I would only do this if I don't believe the elder's prayer of faith can heal me. Or if I have already asked for and received their prayers of faith, I would only turn to a doctor if I believed their prayer of faith had not saved me. Either way, when I turn to rely upon another, I am not relying upon the Lord's promise. I am not relying upon the Lord if my reliance is not solely upon Him. By not relying upon His promise solely, I am not relying upon His promise. At best, one might think they could rely upon both the Lord's promise and the ability of a doctor. However, lest we remain confused on this, just in case we might be tempted to think God might be willing to share your split heart commitment and devotion, God has given us explicit directions to make it absolutely clear. Such an actor should not believe he'll receive anything he asks for. James 1:6-8. Only it must be in faith that he asks with no wavering, no hesitating, no doubting. For the one who wavers, hesitates, doubts, is like the billowing surge out at sea that is blown hither and thither and tossed by the wind. For truly, let not such a person imagine that he will receive anything he asks for from the Lord. For being as he is, a man of two minds, hesitating, dubious, irresolute, he is unstable and unreliable and uncertain about everything he thinks, feels, and decides. Nonetheless, in doubt the elders and a prayer of faith can heal or healed me, and believing the doctor is educated about drugs and the physical body, I may decide to trust and rely upon the doctor and seek his advice. I think he won't care if I tell him I also asked God to heal me. So I seek and hear the word of the doctor. Everyone's bodies are failing as they age and wear out over time. Take aspirin, Tylenol, and an opioid when things are really bad. They will ease the pain of old age. Then I hear him state with firm conviction, know this, signs show you are predisposed. Eventually you will go blind and only move about in a wheelchair. I realize too late. It would have been better for me if I had not mentioned relying upon God. Many are zealous of their MD, minor deity status. If, in hearing his words, I do not believe they are true, if I do not take the aspirin, Tylenol, or opioid, I have no doctor's promise on pain relief. All things being the same, the body pains will continue as before, even though I received the doctor's pain-saving words. However, if I believe the doctor, take his prescriptions for the double-blind, scientifically proven effective drugs, I may obtain temporary pain relief. But now things are worse for my fight to keep faith in God's word. Not only have I proven the doctor can be believed about promised pain relief, but now I have a firmer conviction. The doctor knows what he's talking about. The doctor's knowledge is massive. His words are true. I did get pain relief. But now I have a strengthened, firm belief that is not of the Lord. I believe. I will eventually go blind and live life in a wheelchair. I expect it to come any day. With every slightest change in the body, my confession is heard. Here it comes, just as expected. I am losing my sight. I am losing my ability to walk. Without having faith in God's word to affect receiving his healing promise, and without relying upon the doctor's word to take his prescriptions, the effects promised by God or the experts regarding the car, healing, or pain relief are not received. No change should be expected when no act of reliance is committed to revive the car, obtain healing, or pain relief. Expectation. No one would expect to receive the benefits of a doctor's prescription if they didn't keep his word long enough to rely upon it, obtain the medicine, and take it to effect the pain relief. Likewise, no change should be expected of God's word if not keeping his word long enough to rely upon it for obtaining God's word of healing. What we expect is the best indication of what we will receive. We expect effects, or we don't commit action. Expectation is an element of faith that is always present when faith acts. We only act in expectation of what we believe, or we don't act. We may think we have faith in God's word. The certainty of our expectation is our best indication of what we will receive regarding what we think we believe. The certainty of our expectation directly reflects the certainty of our belief about what can be relied upon. Only the most certain of our beliefs show expectation in the mind, reflecting a true commitment of the heart. Without affecting the cause, stated by God's word, the effect, stated by God's word, of abundant life is not produced. The heart is not committed, and no change is really expected. We may choose to rely upon lesser promises. When we do, we expect to see their results. But what would life have been like if we had believed and truly expected God's promises? Expectation is an integral component of faith. Faith is not present if there is no expectation. Expectation is always produced when there is reliance upon a belief. Cause will produce an effect truly believed in the heart. The quality or intensity of our expectation can be used as a gauge of what is abundant within the heart. More on this later. One can look to the presence and quality of expectation as an indication of the strength or weakness of faith and how credible is the belief being relied upon. Expectation can reveal how well established are God's words as believed within the heart. How abundant are the words of God within the heart. The elements of salvation. If we have believed healing is not for everyone that is saved, we need to better understand how healing is in the salvation that Jesus brought as Messiah and Savior. If we want to believe life should be more than sickness and a failing body until we die, we need to expand our study of salvation to identify the elements that salvation provides to make one's life more abundant and victorious. If we want to overcome the challenges we face in life and have victory over them, we need to understand how to exercise the faith that brings the victory that overcomes the world and heals our bodies. So far, we've talked about the wonders, the power, the gift, and even faith as the cause of salvation. But we haven't specifically stated what are the promised effects of salvation. Most accept salvation is eternal life, with eternal life defined as the promise of resurrection after death to live again in the presence of God. As incredible as that is, salvation includes much more. Turning God's words into abundant life. Let's notice how Jesus lived his life and met challenges in his life by relying upon the word to effect victory. Notice, much more can be understood from his words by contemplating the context he provides as he gives us his words. He does much more than just state his instructions in the words he gives us. He uses context, and at times the context of his life, or analogous examples, to reveal depth in teaching his and his Father's words. We have a Holy Spirit of truth,
anxious to reveal many more details than just what's on the surface. Contemplate hearing the Holy Spirit of John 16 as you consider all that is revealed in context. The Word of God tells us much more than what Jesus said to the devil. If we show we desire more in contemplating and looking for depth in God's Word, we find much more. Truly, the Holy Spirit guarantees if we seek, we find more than is on the surface. By their fruits, you know them. The words of Jesus consistently show he prized employing a certain principle in his teaching. Truth is most evident in a context of fruit produced by its application. The truth of what is in a man and the truth of what is in the man's heart is best seen in the fruit he or the truth produces. A promise produces fruit called the promised effect. The fruit of a promise applied confirms its truth. The truth of good news is confirmed by the good fruit produced by relying upon the good news. As fruit, our actions reveal our faith in what we believe. Our actions reveal the one we follow as Lord, the one we rely upon to provide the truths we live by. In actuality, fruits are evidence of faith. In his giving us his words, along with a context of their producing fruit, along with teaching, he shows us how we apply faith in his examples. This is important because faith is important. It is only by faith that we are saved. As one's fruits, one's acts, reveal what belief of one's heart is being relied upon in the fruit of action. These fruits reveal who is the Lord of the heart. The Lord of one's life is seen in the fruits of the heart. Are they of the one we want to be Lord, or has another insinuated himself into our lives as Lord? The Lord of our heart is seen in our fruits. Whose words are we abiding in? Jesus' example of fruits are seen in his discourse with the priests and Levites in John 8. In fact, their fruits tell us the reason they and many today are not saved by their Savior Messiah. John 8:41-47. You are doing the deeds of your father, they said to him. We were not born of fornication. We have one father, God. Jesus said to them, if God were your father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, for I have not even come on my own initiative, but he sent me. Why do you not understand what I am saying? It is because you cannot hear my word. You are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your devil. He was a murderer from the beginning, and does not stand in the truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. But because I speak the truth, you do not believe me. Which one of you convicts me of sin? If I speak truth, why do you not believe me? He who is of God hears the words of God. For this reason you do not hear them, because you are not of God. Taught power in the word by example. Recall how Matthew was quoted in our theme verses, Matthew 4:4. But he answered, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. His words didn't just tell a historical story. They didn't just teach principles to live by. But more, in the examples of Jesus' ministry, he showed us he lived by God's word. He shows us how we live by the principles he teaches. There is also a core foundational principle demonstrated by which we confirm if what Jesus spoke was true. Matthew 7:16-17. You will know them by their fruits. Grapes are not gathered from thorns, bushes, nor figs from thistles, are they? So every good tree bears good fruit, but the bad tree bears bad fruit. Matthew 7:18-20. A good tree cannot produce bad fruit, nor can a bad tree produce good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. So then you will know them by their fruits. Jesus didn't just state that we should live by the words of God. He demonstrated how one lives by the word of God. In demonstrating, he revealed a lot more than just a command by example. God's words show us what Jesus did when facing a challenge. They show he relied upon the word of God to live his life. They show us he relied upon the word to effect the changes he desired and needed for victory over the challenges in his life. God's words tell us that we should live by the word. They show us we need to use the word when challenged. They show us how to act in faith of God's word. They show us how to rely on the word. They show us how we obtain victory in life by faith using the words of God. Lastly, his words showed us the effect of living by the word is victory. Notice how when Jesus was challenged by the situation occurring in his life, he used the word to meet those challenges. He showed the faith that obtains victory over the world. In the few short verses of Matthew 4, we find a challenging situation was encountered. The devil threatened him and challenged him. Jesus told us we are to live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. He showed us he lived by God's word as he used the word against the challenge. He showed us that God's words were abundant within his heart. Jesus showed us he relied upon the word to meet his day's challenges, to effect the effect he desired. Jesus showed us how to initiate acting on God's word to effect obtaining the effect he desired. He spoke the word to effect the effect he desired. Jesus spoke to the challenge. He spoke what the word says applied to the challenges affecting his life. Jesus showed us how he used the words of God in his daily life to improve it and to make it more abundant. He is our example for how to live by the word. Jesus showed us an example that from the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks the word. We must cultivate the same abundance of God's word within our hearts and learn to speak it against life's challenges. What Jesus didn't do. Jesus didn't question why he was being faced with the challenges. He didn't blame God for allowing the devil's challenge. Jesus didn't just decide to take it and wait for a resurrection life after death. Jesus didn't question why God didn't intervene to save and deliver him. Jesus didn't just rely upon knowing that he had accepted God as his Lord one time in years prior. Jesus didn't just rely upon his trust and knowledge that God loved him and expect God to deal with the challenge. Jesus didn't ask God to do something about the devil. Jesus knew God's word had already established what one must do when confronted by the devil. The devil would flee when resisted and commanded to leave. Jesus spoke. He did what God said to do. He used his faith in what God had said would overcome the world to provide victory over the devil and the world. What the successful good results of Jesus' example show us. Jesus was true to his word. The good fruits that he produced confirm what he spoke was the truth. Like a good tree with proven good fruits, his words can be relied upon and trusted to fulfill the effect promised. God's word produces the eternal life of salvation. John 8:51. Truly, truly, I say to you, if anyone keeps my word, he will never see death. John 8:51. I assure you most solemnly, I tell you, if anyone observes my teaching, lives in accordance with my message, keeps my word, he will by no means ever see and experience death.
A deceiver doesn't make promises that can be confirmed by referring to observable fruits. Rather, in deceit, they make promises that cannot be observed, such as only promising effects after death. Unbelieving doubters, unable to keep faith in God's promises, unable to see them, justify their failure by claiming only His provisions of life after death can be relied upon today. Those that keep God's words and rely upon His promises in faith see the promised effects, because relying upon God's words of salvation kept in their hearts has salvation fruit consequences. Jesus wasn't afraid to promise salvation effects that can be observed, because His words came from His Father, and He relied upon His Father that He would be faithful to fulfill every word of promise. In keeping God's word, Jesus lived. John 8:55. You have not come to know Him, but I know Him. And if I say that I do not know Him, I will be a liar like you. But I do know Him and keep His word.
Faith-based promises. Our Bibles are full of incredible faith-based promises. Promises always refer to an effect that is promised will be fulfilled. Most promises require a cause to affect the effect promised. Faith-based promises are called faith-based because the cause that affects the effect promised is our faith in the promisor that He will fulfill what is promised. To obtain the promise of a faith-based promise, one only need believe the promise and rely upon it in faith, taking action, causing the promisor to honor and keep His words of promise. Some promises are very general. Most are very specific, identifying specific detailed effects that are promised. When I say one only need believe and rely upon it in faith, I am not saying faith in any belief will do. Faith in the specific belief that applies to the specific effect desired is the belief that must be relied upon to affect causing the specific promised effect to be received. When faith-based promises of abundant life are activated by faith, those specific faith-based promises bring changes of abundant life into a believer's life. Faith in God's promises of salvation has consequences. Faith in God's promise of salvation causes the effect known as God's salvation to all who believe. In fact, only in faith can we realize our salvation. Only in deciding to believe and rely upon His promised salvation as worthy of trust and reliance are the essentials of salvation received. There is no other way. Only in applying faith in His words do we discover the author of those words is also the Lord of our life. Promised effects of salvation. Now, the effects promised in salvation. Isaiah 35:4-7. Say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. Behold, your God will come with vengeance. With the recompense of God, He will come and save you. Then the eyes of the blind shall be opened, and the ears of the deaf unstopped. Then shall the lame man leap like a deer, and the tongue of the mute sing for joy. For waters break forth in the wilderness, and streams in the desert. The burning sand shall become a pool, and the thirsty ground springs of water. In the haunt of jackals, where they lie down, the grass shall become reeds and rushes. Luke 4:18. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because He hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And He began to say unto them, This day is this scripture fulfilled in your ears. Luke 7:20-23. So the men came to Jesus and said, John the Baptist sent us to ask, Are you the one who is to come, or shall we continue to look for another? In that very hour, Jesus was healing many people of sickness and distressing bodily plagues and evil spirits, and to many who were blind he gave a free, gracious, joy-giving gift of sight. So he replied to them, Go and tell John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised up, and the poor have the good news, the gospel, preached to them. And blessed, happy with life, joy, and satisfaction in God's favor and salvation, apart from outward conditions, and to be envied, is he who takes no offense in me, and he who is not hurt, or resentful, or annoyed, or repelled, or made to stumble, whatever may occur. New Covenant and Holy Spirit. Jeremiah 31:33-34. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they will be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each other brother, saying, Know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. John 14:15-17. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and he will be with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. John 14:26-27. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give to you. Let not your hearts be troubled, neither let them be afraid. John 14:10-14. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me, or else believe on the account of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I am going to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. John 15:7-8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, and so prove to be my disciples. John 16:13-15. When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all the truth. He will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will declare to you the things that are to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is mine and declare it to you. All that the Father has is mine. Therefore, I said that he will take what is mine and declare it to you. Acts 1:8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria, and to the end of the earth. John 16:23-24. In that day you will ask nothing of me. Truly, truly, I say to you, whatever you ask of the Father in my name, he will give it to you. Until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. John 17:20-23. I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they may all be one, just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also may be in us, so that the world may believe that you have sent me. The glory that you have given me, I have given to them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them, and you in me, that they may become perfectly one, so that the world may know that you sent me and loved them, even as you loved me. The above should make it clear what is meant by an abundant life. It is resurrection to life after death, but it is so much more. Captives delivered, saved from oppressors, set at liberty. Eyes of blind opened, ears of deaf unstopped. Lame to leap, mute to sing. Waters spring from the desert. Gospel, good news for poor. Heal brokenhearted, healed of sickness. Lepers cleansed. Dead raised, happy and life joy, satisfaction in God's favor, apart from outward conditions, envied. God will be our God. Peace, hearts not troubled or afraid. God's word within and on the hearts, a comforter, helper, spirit of truth, dwelling within. Power, guidance into all the truth, declare what is the Lord's. Teach all things and bring to remembrance all God's word. Glorify God in bearing much fruit. We will do the works of Jesus even greater than Jesus did. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. Ask me anything, I will do it. Ask whatever you wish, it will be done. Can ask the Father directly, he will give. All that the Father has, perfectly one with God, even as Jesus was one. Jesus within us, as God is within Jesus. Take time to contemplate what this means. Meditate upon it. Ask, what does this reveal God really seeks in granting us such grace, unmerited favor? Romans 11:33-36. Oh, the depth of the riches and wisdom and knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments, and how inscrutable his ways! For who has known the mind of the Lord, or who has been his counselor, or who has given a gift to him that he might be repaid? For from him and through him and to him are all things. To him be glory forever. Amen. As we contemplate the struggles and challenges we have in life, is there anything that God's salvation grace is not sufficient to provide? No, there is nothing that his promises are not sufficient to provide. As Paul understood God's words of salvation promises, and the new covenant under which God was establishing himself within the hearts of the believers that abide in him, turning the double negative into a positive statement, we hear God's word, Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply liberally, fill to the full, your every need according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. His grace is sufficient. If I am challenged and struggle with any of the following, is there anything that his grace is not sufficient to supply? Does God's grace not deliver me from and make provision to meet any of the following life challenges? A heart committed to God and believing his word? Yes, his grace is sufficient. Rashes, asthma, allergies, irritable bowels? Yes, his grace is sufficient. Bad hearing, bad eyesight, mental clarity, memory. Yes, his grace is sufficient. Failing marriage and relationships? Sickness, poor health, weakness, low energy? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Migraines, nervousness, joints and muscle pains? Cancer, heart failure, incurable diseases? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Captivity and imprisoned? Alcohol and drug addicted? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Greedy, prideful, lustful, covetousness, adulterous? Negativity, anxiety, depression, hopelessness? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Homosexuality, immorality, pornography? A thorn in the flesh that we won't mention? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Handicaps or bodily impairments? Needing comfort and peace? Needing guidance, wisdom, knowledge? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Happy, unfulfilling job? Success with life's passion? Success, prosperity, and a joyful, abundant life? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Unemployed, no business, low income, poverty? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Respect of peers and relations? God to hear me and grant the desires that He puts within my heart? Yes, His grace is sufficient. Salvation effects, evidence of the promised Messiah. Israel was waiting for a Messiah. Their Messiah was to bring salvation. All of what is listed above was included under the new covenant, but they were waiting for Him to bring deliverance from the oppression of Rome. He would be a savior to them. With every struggle in life, they looked forward to their Messiah appearing. The promise of salvation also prophesied a forerunner would proclaim the coming of the Messiah as the day of His coming approached. John, in proclaiming the coming of the Messiah, was an effect of the promise that was promised would accompany the coming of the Messiah. Matthew 11:10. This is the one of whom it is written, "Behold, I send my messenger ahead of you, who shall make ready your way before you." Luke 1:67-79, speaking of John, the forerunner, Baptist, and his father Zacharias was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied, saying, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, for He hath visited and redeemed His people, and has raised up a horn of salvation for us in the house of His servant David, as He spoke by the mouth of His holy prophets from of old, that we should be saved from our enemies and from the hand of all who hate us, to show the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember His holy covenant, the oath that He swore to our father Abraham, to grant us that we, being delivered from the hand of our enemies, might serve Him without fear, in holiness and righteousness, before Him all our days. And you, child, will be called the prophet of the Most High, for you will go before the Lord to prepare His ways, to give knowledge of salvation to His people in the forgiveness of their sins, because of the tender mercy of our God, whereby the sunrise shall visit us from on high, to give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace." His proclaiming that the Savior was coming would be an independent confirmation that the one bringing the effects of salvation was the Savior promised. Jesus did not form an agreement with John to proclaim Him. Jesus fulfilled John's witness that the Messiah was coming with His salvation. Even as John proclaimed the coming of the Messiah was imminent, he questioned if Jesus was that Messiah. At John's request, his disciples asked Jesus if He were the one John was proclaiming would come. Jesus answered by saying, Tell John how the effects of salvation promised were being received by the people as Jesus ministered among them. This is important. Just as true cause and effect principles cause the effects that confirm the promise is true, the observed effects the Savior was promised to cause confirm he was the promised Savior. The effects observed also confirm what was promised, confirms what was expected of salvation by Jesus and John. The observing of the promised effects are evidence the promise was being fulfilled, and that the cause of those effects was the Messiah Savior expected. The salvation effects Jesus told John he should observe as confirming he was fulfilling the promise, those same effects confirm the effects of salvation we can expect of our Savior Messiah Jesus in our time. But this record is more important than just fulfilling ancient prophecy and validating the authenticity that Jesus is the promised Messiah. The very acts that confirmed Jesus was Savior, being the promised effects, also make it absolutely clear what the promised effects of salvation are. Observing the details of salvation promised and caused by Jesus are the evidence that the promise of salvation is true. The salvation effects observed are part of salvation. Jesus as the acting agent is the Messiah Savior promised. Jesus correctly applied the cause to effect salvation principles to affect the effects promised. He who promised is faithful to fulfill his word. Since the Messiah was to cause the effects of salvation promised, when they were seen among the people, the one affecting that cause, Jesus, should have been recognized as Messiah Savior of the promise, and his words on how to receive that promise should have been given careful attention to obey. Active salvation. The new covenant was not like the old covenant. Jeremiah 31:31-34. Behold, the days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah, not like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant that they broke, though I was their husband, declared the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, declares the Lord. I will put my law within them, and I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And no longer shall each one teach his neighbor and each his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. The new covenant involved God's people receiving God's word into their hearts. In receiving his word into their hearts by believing, trusting, and relying in faith, the Lord would do as he promised. In Christ, in trust and reliance upon him, he would be their salvation. Ephesians 2:8. For it is by free grace, God's unmerited favor, that you are saved, delivered from judgment and made partakers of Christ's salvation through your faith. And this salvation is not of yourself, of your own doing. It came not through your own striving, but it is the gift of God. Ephesians 2:14-16. For he himself is our peace. He hath made us both one, and hath broken down in his flesh the dividing wall of hostility, by abolishing the law of commandments expressed in ordinances, that he might create in himself one new man in place of the two, so making peace, and might reconcile us both to God in one body through the cross, thereby killing the hostility. In faith, the word that would bring salvation to the redeemed must be received by the mind and taken into the heart, forever changing the redeemed into the new man, God's people. In the expression of their faith in him, they would receive their salvation. God's salvation, although a gift of God's grace and unmerited favor, could not be received through passive involvement. Even though by grace we receive God's salvation, which means it cannot be earned by works, faith, and only faith in the belief God wills to fulfill his promise is required to receive salvation. If this belief sounds like a work of merit, Jesus described it as a work required of God. John 6:28. Then they said, "What are we to do that we may habitually be working the works of God? What are we to do to carry out what God requires?" Jesus replied, "This is the work, service, that God asks of you, that you believe in the one whom he has sent, that you cleave to, rely, trust on, and have faith in his messenger." In other words, it is by God's grace we receive salvation according to our faith. If this seems a challenge to understand, if you wonder how faith could be required of a gift, recall to mind we have the promise of the Holy Spirit of truth, promised available just for the purpose of obtaining such an answer and understanding. John 14:16-17. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper to be with you forever, even the Spirit of truth. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all that I have said to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever believes in me will also do the works that I do, and greater works than these will he do, because I'm going to the Father." In other words, using words that I think are clear, whatsoever I may desire, qualified only by it being an effect promised in the words of God, whatsoever I believe, I receive. Whatsoever I can believe is possible. If I believe and rely upon that belief in faith, all things are possible. In faith of God's promises, no other act or qualification is required on my part to cause God's promised effects to be fulfilled and my desire received. To see the effects of salvation in a person's life, God's salvation would now involve the hearts and minds of the redeemed relying upon God and receiving his promise. No longer could they just sit back and watch God do his marvels. Jesus revealed the necessity of their believing in receiving his salvation by faith. God's new covenant salvation required the redeemed to receive their salvation by faith as the initiating act of belief in reliance and trust of God. By receiving God's word into their hearts and committing their hearts to rely upon them, the word changed those persons as part of bringing the promise. The two acts, the initiating act of faith and the action affecting salvation effects, would not be separated as God brought about what he was determined to have, a people, one with him in heart and mind. Ministers of the promises of salvation. As we saw in the details of salvation above, the promised effects of salvation included ability to bring the promised effects of salvation to others, producing the same fruit and even greater works than Jesus performed in bringing this salvation to the redeemed. Matthew 10:5-8. Jesus sent out the 12, charging them, "And as you go, preach, saying, 'The kingdom of heaven is at hand.' Cure the sick, raise the dead, cleanse the lepers, drive out demons. Freely, without pay, you have received; freely, without charge, give." Luke 9:2. "And he sent them out to announce and preach the kingdom of God and to bring healing." Luke 10:9. "And heal the sick in it and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come close to you.'" Mark 16:15-20. And he said to them, Go into all the world and preach and publish openly the good news, the gospel, to every creature of the whole human race. He who believes, who adheres to and trusts in and relies on the gospel of him whom it sets forth and is baptized will be saved from the penalty of eternal death. But he who does not believe, who does not adhere to and trust in and rely on the gospel of him whom it sets forth will be condemned. And these attesting signs will accompany those who believe. In my name, they will drive out demons. They will speak in new tongues. They will pick up serpents, and even if they drink anything deadly, it will not hurt them. They will lay their hands on the sick, and they will get well. So then, the Lord Jesus, after he had spoken to them, was taken up into heaven, and he sat down at the right hand of God. And they went out and preached everywhere, while the Lord kept working with them and confirming the message by the attesting signs and miracles that closely accompany it. Amen. So be it. John 17:8. For the uttered words that you gave me, I have given them, and they have received and accepted them, and have come to know positively and in reality, to believe with absolute assurance, that I came forth from your presence, and they have believed and are convinced that you did send me. John 17:14. I have given and delivered to them your word, message, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, do not belong to the world, just as I am not of the world. John 17:17-20. Sanctify them, purify, consecrate, separate them for yourself, make them holy by the truth. Your word is truth. Just as you sent me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. And so, for their sake and on their behalf, I sanctify, dedicate, consecrate myself, that they may also be sanctified, dedicated, consecrated, made holy in the truth. Neither for these alone do I pray. It is not for their sake only that I make this request, but also for all those who will ever come to believe in, trust in, cling to, and rely on me through their word and teaching. Those that heard the words of Jesus and believed, they received the promise of salvation. They were able to receive and administer the salvation effects to the people. But those who would not or could not believe and in faith rely upon the words of Jesus didn't or couldn't. When asked why they failed to produce or cause the effects desired, Jesus told them, Matthew 13:15, For this nation's heart has grown gross, fat, and dull, and their ears heavy and difficult of hearing, and their eyes they have tightly closed, lest they see and perceive with their eyes, and hear and comprehend the sense with their ears, and grasp and understand with their heart, and turn, and I should heal them. Acts 20:27-28. For the heart, the understanding, the soul, of this people has grown dull, stupid, hardened, and calloused. And their ears are heavy and hard of hearing, and they have shut tight their eyes, so that they may not perceive and have knowledge, and become acquainted with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their souls, and turn to me and be converted, that I may heal them. So let it be understood by you, then, that this message of the salvation of God has been sent to the Gentiles, and they will listen to it. Matthew 17:16-20. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not heal him. And Jesus answered, O faithless and twisted generation, how long am I to be with you? How long am I to bear with you? Bring him here to me. And Jesus rebuked the demon, and it came out of him, and the boy was healed instantly. Then the disciples came to Jesus privately and said, "Why could we not cast it out?" He said to them, "Because of your little faith. For truly I say to you, if you had faith like a grain of mustard seed, you will say to this mountain, 'Move from here to there,' and it will move, and nothing will be impossible for you." Expecting a passive salvation. Most of the leaders of Israel thought the Messiah Savior would simply arrive and save them. They expected the Messiah would defeat their enemies, release the captives, heal them and their land without their active involvement. They thought the Messiah would just come and save all without the redeemed needing to do anything. Those that thought themselves wise were blinded by the lies of the deceiver, speaking God's salvation would require no act of the redeemed. They simply refused to believe Jesus. As unbelieving leaders misleading the people, Jesus didn't have much good to say of them. Matthew 23:13-28. "But woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, pretenders, hypocrites! For you shut the kingdom of heaven in men's faces, for you neither enter yourself, nor do you allow those who are about to go in to do so. You blind men, which is greater, the gift or the altar which makes the gift sacred? You blind guides, filtering out a gnat and gulping down a camel. Just so, you also outwardly seem to people to be just and upright, but inside you are full of pretense and lawlessness and iniquity." Matthew 23:15. "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you travel across sea and land to make a single proselyte. And when he becomes a proselyte, you make him twice as much a child of hell as yourselves." Luke 11:52. "Woe to you, lawyers, experts in the Mosaic law, for you have taken away the key to knowledge. You did not go in yourself, and you hindered and prevented those who were entering." Matthew 26:24. "The Son of Man goes as it is written of him, but woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been better for that man if he had not been born." I wouldn't want to be a pastor preaching against belief in God's word. Such is a betrayal of his trust to shepherd his flock. The leaders in Israel expected the Messiah to deliver them from their bondage to Rome, just as he had delivered Israel from bondage to Egypt. Luke 24:21. "But we were hoping that it was he who was going to redeem Israel." Those failing to have faith never saw God's salvation. They still wait a Messiah, thinking he will bring a passive deliverance and salvation when he comes. Today, many are still in unbelief, expecting to see a passive salvation before they believe. Without faith that what he promises he is faithful to fulfill, they refuse to believe Jesus when he said, "This day is this promise fulfilled in your hearing." Like the priests and Levites of old, they wait for the promises of salvation to be delivered at a future coming. For these, the Messiah came only to fulfill the requirement of his sacrifice. The promises of salvation are future effects to appear at his second coming. Do not believe it, for today is the day of your salvation. As he stated long ago, "This day is the promise fulfilled in your hearing." The kingdom of God has come. He sent his disciples forth to proclaim it, and in the Great Commission he has sent all believers to share it to all the world with power, performing the same works as Jesus for all who will receive it. No, in doubt, unbelieving, and lack of faith, they only hope a future coming will bring the salvation and the abundant life they are unable to believe. Failing to comprehend their salvation, there is one requirement not performed that robs them of the salvation they wait for. they've all heard the truth, but didn't combine that hearing with faith. Hebrews 4, 1 through 2. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached, as well as unto them. But the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Hebrews 8, 8 through 11. Behold, the days will come, says the Lord, when I will make and ratify a new covenant or agreement with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. It will not be like the covenant that I made with their fathers on the day when I grasped them by the hand to help and relieve them and to lead them out from the land of Egypt. For they did not abide in my agreement with them, and so I withdrew my favor and disregarded them, says the Lord. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will imprint my law upon their minds, even upon their innermost thoughts and understanding, and engrave them upon their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. And it will never more be necessary for each one to teach his neighbor and his fellow citizens, or each one his brother, saying, Know, perceive, have knowledge of, and get acquainted with, experience with, the Lord. For all will know me, from the smallest to the greatest of them. Only through belief can the word enter into the heart of man to affect the cause of his salvation of the new covenant. How can we believe? We will cover this in our next study. Looking ahead, decide this day to believe and commit to rely upon his word for obtaining every salvation effect his word describes. I am who God's word says I am. I have what it says I have. I can do what it says I can do. His word, as a seed planted, produces a harvest.
Believing plants the word within the heart. Committing to keep it within the heart and keeping it above all other beliefs establishes it as most abundant. From the abundance within the heart determines what is relied upon when needs arise. God's word relied upon causes new life to spring forth in the believer. A mature, brand new man of God is the harvest the seed produces. The new man enjoys the abundant life of salvation. Jesus came that we might receive. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. More than a conqueror, I've been born again. More than delivered, that's what I am. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man. I've got a new heart. God's heart I have. As the Lord's redeemed, I've been set free. More than a conqueror, I've been born again. I'm a new creation. I'm a brand new man.